Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It feels rude to even talk during this song, if I'm being completely honest with you.
I'm pretty much totally against AI songs.
Okay.
This is a banger.
Yeah.
Sounds just like them. This is an incredible one.
Is it confirmed AI?
Yeah, this is AI.
Oh, okay. I guess I should have guessed that.
Yeah, on the singing track, it says not Scott Stapp.
This is the best part.
That narrows it down.
Hit it!
Can you take me
sleigh bells in the back.
To a place where snowmen see. Can you
That's as good as it gets right there.
I'll tell you, I saw them in July.
No. Oh, that's
fantastic.
Right. You did.
Yeah. They were great.
Where
them
is that among the, with Daughtry opening
yeah.
for?
Oh, yeah.
Get
it
out of
great.
Here. Where was it?
Xfinity Theater in Connecticut there. Went out to Hartford.
Oh, in Hartford.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless.
Sick brag, bro.
Walked into that one.
Yeah. That's a show you kind of speed walk into and out of.
Yes, for sure.
That's as somebody who
well, that venue only has porta potties. They don't even have like restaurants.
Oh yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yo, yeah, yeah. So, it's an experience.
Yeah, missed all of Mammoth, which I was bummed. Not really, but yeah. I'd never heard of them. But I missed all of it because I was in line.
That's the beauty. Like, there's normally at least when you know a band really well and you hear the beginning of a song, you can kind of catch like, oh, this is the song I go and get a beer.
This
is the song I go and pee for. That kind of thing. So, anyways, that's a hell of a show. And we welcome you back here on WEEI. Dan Ball, Justin Turpin in for Jones and Keefe here on Christmas Eve morning. Hopefully you're getting your shopping done for your mother, your father, your family, your ex-wife's boyfriend, whoever you're shopping for today. We appreciate you joining us for Pure Hoops with Turp. We are starting with the fact that the Boston Celtics, not to be overly simplistic with this, Turp, but pretty damn good basketball team at 18-11 through the beginning part of their season. It was a let's start with their previous game against Indiana, and the way that the game unfolded, putting the starters on the bench and bringing in the backups, and all of a sudden the game kind of changes. The depth for the Boston Celtics and the youth within that depth seem to really be on display in their previous game against Indiana. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and Joe Mazzulla has been talking about this since the early days of training camp, and he was looking at this team saying the depth is going to be a factor for us. Like, this is going to be one of our biggest strengths. And it turns out it has been, and I give Mazzulla a lot of credit for, you want to talk about the other night, like, he just has such an instinctive feel for this team. Like, it's ballsy to pull your starters less than three minutes into the second half.
Yeah.
And these aren't just like, you know, this isn't like an unestablished team, guys like fighting to find their way. That's NBA Finals MVP Jaylen Brown.
Right.
Peyton Pritchard's an NBA champion. Derek White's an NBA champion. You pull those guys less than 3 minutes into the second half when they go down by 20 at home to a 6-win team. And it works. They go on this massive run, and they win the game. And it's fueled by guys like Hugo Gonzalez, who I cannot wait until they start doing the redrafts in a couple of years. Like, the fact that they got him where they did that late in the draft is incredible, because this guy has all the intangibles. He's 19 years old.
Yeah.
And just, he's such an instinctive defender. He's always in the right spot with his positioning. He's just a really smart basketball player. And one of the draws with him when they drafted him was that he was playing in a system that was pretty much a professional team with Real Madrid. And you kind of see that with just his instinct and his feel. And, you know, he's everything that you could have asked for him this year. And all the young guys, like, you can kind of throw Josh Minot. I know it's cooled down a little bit from Minot mania at the beginning of the year where he was
going crazy. Why not Minot, baby?
Right.
Yeah.
In the starting lineup. But he's also been very effective in these small ball lineups and allowing them to do that. Baylor Shireman, like, kind of in his aspect, he's been great there. But, yeah, I mean, everything you could have asked from the young guys this year, and that's a big credit to Joe Mazzulla.
So what is Hugo Gonzalez specifically? What does he profile out to be? Is he rotational at best? Does he have a chance to become a starter on a team, be it the Celtics or others? Or is he just that classic energizer bunny bench piece that a lot of really good teams in this league need?
You know what? The other day, when he took that offensive foul on the baseline in the middle of their comeback, it just looked just like Marcus Smart. It's like, that is Marcus Smart. That is just a Spanish version of Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
And the numbers just dictate how well he's played this year. I mean, his net rating is a 20.6, and that's points per possession. Best among rookies, best on the Celtics. That's a ridiculous number.
Best among all rookies.
Best among all rookies by a wide margin.
In the NBA.
Right. If you want to go with just the raw plus minus, he's a plus 132. That's third on the Celtics behind White and Kata. And it's best by all rookies by pretty wide margin. VJ Edcombe of the 76ers is next up with a 94, plus 94.
Right.
Like, he's just made impacts on the floor. And you're going to look at his stat sheet and you'll be like, oh, he doesn't really stuff it. But like, he's picking up guys, much like Jordan Walsh is, picking up all NBA caliber players and really making life hard for them. And that's something that Jaylen Brown used to do. And what they're asking Jaylen to do offensively now, you couldn't expect him to do both. You couldn't expect him to go out and average 30 points per game damn near and play defense against these excellent players as well.
Like, right.
It just wasn't something that they could have done. So for this team to find the success, like, I keep going back to it. Their win total was 40.5 entering the year.
Yeah.
The lowest since the 2014-15 season.
It seemed like
to win 51 games.
It seemed like it was going to be a win if you avoided the play-in round this year, regardless of when Jason Tatum came back. At least to me, anything over 500 felt like you've had a successful season. And quite honestly, that's just a factor of all the roster churn that you had. You purposefully took a step back because give a quick rundown again where the Celtics are in terms of payroll and what the implications are of spending again this offseason versus not, and kind of what they have to navigate at this point.
Yeah, so just through the makeup of the second apron, Wick Grosbeck made it clear on these airwaves, I think it was in March, that you can't live in it. Like, that's just the reality of the NBA. The NBA's goal was to create parity, and it's working. Like, you're talking about how bad the Eastern Conference. Maybe they didn't want this parity where everyone's like, oh, the conference stinks. Like, I don't think they wanted that necessarily.
Right.
But you can't really live in it. And so the Celtics had to make decisions, tough ones, and part ways with championship players like Jrue Holiday, like Kristaps Porzingis. Al Horford was kind of a casualty in that. I know he left in free agency. Same with Luke Kornet, but they couldn't offer them the market value deals they were seeking because
right.
They had to get out of the apron. And so you have to retool, and that's the word that Brad Stevens liked to use. You have to retool pretty quickly. And the way to do that is hit on these cheaper players, because you're already paying Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum supermax deals. You have Derek White up there who's making a decent amount of money as well. You have to hit on these younger guys, these developmental guys. And the Celtics have had a good track record. Look at their last championship in the 2024 season. Like, Peyton Pritchard wasn't a G League guy, but came through the Celtics development system and is now your starting point guard. Luke Kornet contributed in that finals run. He was in Maine. Sam Hauser was in Maine as well. Like, they've had guys that have just developed into really good NBA role players. And that's kind of what you have to hope for with this new second apron. And they've done it so far. I mean, the fact that we're sitting here, and I think the development of these players specifically, like, yeah, you wanted to see Jaylen thrive as a number one. You wanted to see Derek and Peyton kind of step up where they were at. But the idea of this season was to see the development from the younger guys and figure out who can contribute to this next iteration of a championship-contending team. And you were hoping maybe one or two of them. To get all of them that seems like they can contribute to the next level of the team, it's spectacular.
and the amount of money that it's going to save you and allow you to navigate these uncertain waters, as other teams around the league are also navigating it as well, that is such a plus in Adam Silver's NBA, to be able to have these guys on these manageable, either first or second deals, to be able to contribute the way that they have. What do you know about the main Celtics and just the Celtics developmental organization, their ability to develop these players? Who are the main pieces that are in charge of that? How much does Brad Stevens factor into that? How much does Joe factor into that? What about the Celtics development makes them so successful and helps them usher these guys onto the big league team?
It's exactly that infrastructure. It's from top to bottom. Everyone's tied in. Brad Stevens and Bill Chisholm were at a Maine Celtics game a couple weeks ago. Brad's very involved with it. The player development staff is full of good players that help develop these guys as well. Phil Pressey, former Celtic, the head coach with the Maine Celtics now. And they got off to a little bit of a slow start. They ripped off 8 wins in a row, and now they're much better. Like, it's from top to bottom. Just the player development team is surrounded by great coaches, and Brad and Joe are very involved in that as well, and that's what allows them to do it. It's just the organizational structure that these guys are kind of following the same regime as the Boston Celtics. So when they come up, it's kind of flawless. Like, they're playing roles that they would play at the NBA level. Like, take Jordan Wallace, for example. Last year when he was in Maine, it's not like he's playing a role that, like, he's not going to be playing in the NBA. He's not, you know, handling the ball all the time, a guy that's trying to score just because he's probably the best player on the floor on that night.
Yeah.
He's playing within the role that he's going to play in. So when he gets up, he's a superstar in his role there in the G League. When he gets up to the NBA and he's tested with that, he's ready to go. So it's really just that organizational structure from top to bottom, with everyone tied in, everyone working together, that allows them to do such a thing. And it's, again, you can't overstate how important that is, just with the second apron and the restrictions that come with it. Because the reality is, to be a contending team, most of the time you have to spend money.
Right.
And we saw that with the last championship team. And the hope is, and the goal and the expectation, I think, would be when Jason Tatum is back on the floor next year and you have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown both on Supermax deals right in their primes, you spend to maximize that window, because you don't know how long you can hold on to them. Like, the goal and the hope everyone would want is that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum both retire as Celtics. But you never know. And the fact that you have them right here, you know, it's not even hyperbolic to say generational players for this franchise. You have them here right now in the middle of their primes. You want to maximize that money, and you want to maximize the ability to kind of put them in the best spot to possibly succeed. And I think these younger guys will help. And certainly if you go out and spend in the offseason and bring in some better players as well, it's huge.
As we continue to talk about the Boston Celtics, let's get to your phone call. 617-779-7937 is the number. Kelly is in Amherst. Hello, Kelly.
Hey, what's up, guys? I am absolutely loving the Celtics analysis. You guys should be on 8 hours a day. But I got a question. So I like to think of myself as somewhat of a, you know, Celtics aficionado. And so if this was for me, I would have a really good question here. Yeah, I would like to show off my knowledge. But here's the thing. My dad has a Celtic player on his fantasy team. He's down in D.C., and he is begging me to find out from you guys why this guy does not play. I tried to explain it's because he's a bum, but you guys might know better. So if this is for my dad, Christmas, and all the whole thing.
Okay.
As much as you can, please. Why does Chris Boucher never, ever play? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Kelly. I think the main part is it's not the fit that they expected when they brought him in.
What did they expect?
I think they expected a guy that was a 3-and-D player, a big that they can play as more of a 4, and it just really hasn't been that. And the minutes that he got in the beginning of the season weren't necessarily great, and he's kind of fallen out of the rotation since then. And I think it also doesn't help that we're talking about guys like Jordan Walsh and Hugo Gonzalez and those guys contributing. And it's nothing against Chris Boucher, but he's been in the league for 8 years now. Like,
right.
He's been in the league. He's been around. Like, they signed him on a 1-year minimum. Like, when they were talking about the developmental plans and looking at it, Chris Boucher wasn't a factor into that. And I just don't think he's done enough to warrant play over these guys, especially with just how good they've been and given how his minutes looked at the beginning of the year. And it's kind of a bummer, because Chris Boucher talked about it at Media Day before the season, just how excited he was for the opportunity. He'd been kind of a bench player with the Raptors. He leads the Raptors franchise history in, like, points, rebounds, assists, all off the bench.
Yeah,
like,
right.
He's been just a long-term bench player, was you know, kind of dying for the opportunity, got it, and just wasn't able to cash in on it. Now he's been kind of passed by those younger guys. And, you know, again, the development is the most important part, and you're focusing and exhausting your resources on those younger guys.
The 978 read my mind. The real question is, why does his dad have Chris Boucher on his fantasy team?
Is he a Raptors fan, maybe?
Maybe. Must be.
He's in D.C. I mean, it's hard to root for the Wizards.
So yeah,
I would understand it. You know, maybe taking a different team, and they got a cool logo. They play in Canada. It's not like you're going.
They do.
Like,
yeah, you got a whole country that's rooting
right.
for you.
So, like, yeah, maybe you mix it up there. But I would not have Boucher on my fantasy team.
No, unless you're playing in like a 30-team fantasy league.
Typically
where you're literally
not for basketball, though.
Again, hey, to each their own. He probably thought he found, like, he probably got to the end of the draft and was like, oh, I'm going to spring this on these guys.
You know what? The draft,
they're never going to see this value, this ultimate diamond in the rough coming.
The draft was probably the day after their first preseason game against the Raptors. They were in Toronto.
Yeah.
And Chris Boucher went nuts. Like, he was incredible. You're like, wow, like, Celtics have something here. Like,
yeah.
People were talking about him possibly starting at the four.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the idea that the lineup would be a double big, which the Celtics went to in the past, and it would have been Peyton Pritchard, Derek White, Jaylen Brown, Chris Boucher, and Namish Keita. Obviously, they went with Hauser, Gonzalez, and now they've settled on Jordan Walsh. Minot was in there as well. But it's just, yeah, it hasn't really worked out. And thinking back on that preseason game, it's like, well, they really had something. And then you probably saw that draft the next day, picked them. It's like, oh, this is a good flyer. Not quite.
I tell you what, Terp, you kind of nailed it. So this is exactly what happened. So they played Memphis on October 8th.
Yep.
He played 20 minutes, scored 11 points, 3-for-9, 1-for-6 from three. Then on Friday, like you said, they played in Toronto. They lost the game. He played 23 minutes, but went 7-of-10 from the field, 2-of-5 from three, 19 points. So it had to have been that weekend. I bet either that Saturday or that's probably the Saturday, because then he had 6 points in 11 minutes on that Sunday. It was probably October 11th. He turned around, ended the draft, had to fill out his roster, filling out the bench. And he probably got to the last couple of rounds and said, guys,
yes,
you'll never believe
this steal of the draft.
Yeah, you guys are going to be, when I'm lifting the trophy at the end of the season, Chris Boucher is going to be one.
It is crazy, though, because, like, I bet you Hugo Gonzalez, unless it's like a dynasty draft, probably went undrafted a lot of leagues. Jordan Walsh definitely did. It's not hyperbolic to say that Jordan Walsh is playing for his NBA career this year.
Yeah.
Like, entering the year, it's like, what's next for him? And I think it was kind of short-sighted because, again, he's only 21 years old, was drafted at 19, and he wasn't going to play on that first team. Like,
yeah.
That was an all-time great team, and people will look at that team like such. And he wasn't going to play in that team. And then the second year was pretty much the same team, just run back. Like,
right.
He wasn't, the opportunities weren't there for him to play. So I think people kind of forgot about him a little bit. And then, you know, behind the scenes doing these developmental programs and whatnot. And there was one time last year, actually, he asked Brad Stevens to go down to Maine and to just get extra runs.
Oh, really?
The Celtics
okay.
had a couple days off. He went down there and ended up playing. So he played a couple games with Maine last year. But, you know, you take any guys like that, like Keita, Walsh, Hugo Gonzalez, like, those are your league winners right there. Like,
yeah.
Keita's been an animal on for fantasy.
He, and just overall, is he exceeding your expectations of what you thought he'd be capable of as a guy who's playing probably more minutes than you thought he'd be capable of?
Yeah, I think he is. I mean, I always thought he was a good player. He has helped the Celtics win games in the past. And one of the ones I always go to is last year, the first game that they lost, it was kind of similar to the other night, what we saw when Joe Mazzulla pulled the starters. But this one was a little bit later into the second half. They clearly didn't have it. It was early season game. And the Celtics put in Keita. And he completely turned the game with this bench lineup, actually cut it to like a two or three point one possession game, gave them a chance to win.
Yeah.
And he was another one, kind of behind Kristaps Porzingis, Al Horford, Luke Kornet. Like, being behind those guys, there wasn't really much room for him to play. But one of the biggest questions I, like, when I see Keita, it's like, the Kings really waived this guy for JaVale McGee? Like, you couldn't find a trade partner. You couldn't find anything for him.
Yeah.
Because, like, he can clearly play. He's got all the intangibles. He's a great athlete. He's 7 feet tall. Like, great rim protector, great rebounder. And, like, there were some areas of his game that he needed to work on. And he needed to specifically his touch around the rim, his work in the post. He loved putting the ball on the ground. It's like, dude, you're 7 feet tall. Like, hold it above everyone and just go over him. And, you know, he's done all that. So he's definitely exceeded my expectations. Like, he's a net rating darling this year. The advanced numbers absolutely love him.
Yeah.
And part of that, I think, is because of what was behind him at first. Like, the Celtics went weeks without playing an actual center behind him. They were going all small ball. In the last two games, they finally played Luka Garza and went to a big again. He's been great in his minutes, but I think part of it was what's behind him, which is why he was so, like, high up on the net rating and the lineups he was playing. Like, he's playing with the starters, and then that's why Jaylen Brown's net rating is probably a little bit lower, because he's got minutes where he's playing with the bench. So
right.
I think part of it was that, but yeah, he's certainly exceeded my expectations this year.
What I've gleaned from this conversation and just kind of applying it to what I'm watching with this team this year is that the Celtics do not get enough credit for their ability to identify young, unproven, needed to be developed talent and then developing them into the proper role that matches their skill set, if that makes sense. Because you did it a couple times with the Pritchard, Cornette, Hauser era of young players, and then now you're seeing it again, like you're talking about. You're running five deep with guys who you either drafted or kind of grabbed off the scrap heap, guys that weren't fitting in with their previous system. You insert them into a role that you think they're going to be successful, give them the proper coaching, the proper development, and all of a sudden kind of have fine money with multiple different guys. And so that's an element of the Celtics franchise that seems to me to be becoming even more important, as you talk about with the way that the financial landscape in the NBA is changing, where if you're not able to go through a more traditional, almost non-NBA, more like MLB-style development of a guy, put him in your minor league system and develop them into a player that you can use, you're going to fall behind the eight ball, because you're then going to have to try to overspend to fix the issues that you've created with lack of prospect depth. So that seems like an element of the Celtics organization that is going to become increasingly important as the years go along.
And I think it's easy to buy into it if you're a young player. You're looking at Luke Cornette. The guy in the 2021-22 season played on three different teams.
Right.
The Celtics brought him back. He was spending time in the G League. He's making $40 million now. Like,
yep.
Like, that's how it is. And, like, it's easy. Sam Hauser's another one. Undrafted. Spent time in Maine. Now he's making $10 million, and then 12. Like, it's easy to buy into that when you see that there's been success before that. So
right.
Just, again, that goes back to that organizational structure, and they deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, no doubt about that. 617-779-7937. The text line agrees that they would rather have Bobby Boucher over Chris Boucher on their fantasy team. Can't disagree with that. We'll continue with the Celtics conversation. A couple more items to get to. The East is wide open. Should the Boston Celtics be considering adding ahead of the trade deadline? As Terp was telling me off the air, the trade window in the NBA is kind of now open. You have the chance to make a move. Do the Celtics deserve to do that this season? We'll discuss that after Jackson gets you caught up on what's trending.
You have to hit on these younger guys.
The coach and the quarterback are heard live here every Patriots Monday. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Thank you, Terp. Trending brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. The Bruins, they fell apart in the final period of play, allowing four unanswered goals to the Canadiens, losing 6-2. Swayman had 23 saves on 29 shots. The Bruins are off until Saturday when they play the Sabres. We have a lot of Christmas football tomorrow, and you can hear all of them right here on Westwood One's coverage of all three games right here on WEEI. 12:30, you see the Cowboys take on the Commanders, then 4:15, Detroit takes on Minnesota, and to end the day, the Chiefs, without Mahomes or Minshew, take on Bo Nix and the Broncos. If the Broncos do lose that game and the Pats beat the Jets on Sunday, the Pats will be the number one seed in the AFC. Breaking golf news, Brooks Koepka is leaving the LIV Golf League to spend more time with family. Don't know if he's coming back to the PGA or not. Trending brought to you by Mario's Roofing. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and prove quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. I am Jackson. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. and the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or dsw.com.
Don't toy with us, Brad. Don't do this to me, Brad. Now, here's the thing. So, Turf, you cover the Boston Celtics. Celtics consistently competing for championships, winning a lot of games, spending money, things like that. So, when Brad Stevens speaks and he says things along the lines of we're looking to improve the team, the difference between you covering the Celtics and me doing work on the Red Sox pre- and post-game show is that when you hear that, you can believe them. When I hear that, I have to go, okay, so what's actually happening here? But Brad Stevens has admitted, nonetheless, that the Celtics do not see a ceiling on this year's team. Establishing question, did you think that we'd be having conversations about the Celtics adding ahead of the trade deadline when this team broke camp?
Not really.
Okay.
No, and I mean, I
neither did I or anybody else.
I think they've earned it.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just looking at this season, just a couple numbers. Since their 0-3 start, they're 18-8. That's the third best win percentage of the Eastern Conference behind only the Knicks and the Pistons.
Right.
Fourth in offensive rating. Who would have expected that?
Yeah.
Like, without Jason Tatum, who led the offense, obviously, the last couple of years, without guys like Kristaps Porzingis, who's your third points per game scorer, like, you didn't expect that.
Off the top of your head, do you remember where they were last year in that?
In offense,
offense
two.
Rating?
I believe they were two.
So they've only dropped, so losing Tatum, Porzingis, Holiday, and Kornet, you've dropped two spots. And Horford, you've dropped two spots in your offensive rating.
It's wild.
That is a borderline miracle. But anyways, continue.
Sixth in net rating, so that's points per 100 possessions. And they have 11 wins over teams 500 or better. They're the only team in the NBA with double digit.
Whoa! Patriots fans, cover your ears.
It's not like they're beating. I know we've done so much schedule talks. I don't want to get into it with the basketball as well. But like,
no, but this is a good thing, so we can talk about it a lot. Yeah, exactly.
They're like, they've proven themselves that they can hang with everybody. Like, you're looking at just the top of the Eastern Conference, like, they have a win over all those teams.
Yeah.
Like, they've proven they can do it. It's just, it's a fine line they have to walk, because obviously they made the moves over the offseason because they had to, because of the second apron. So they're not going to make all those moves and then jump right back into it, because why wouldn't you just keep the team? So, you know, you're kind of limited in what you can do without going back over and who you can add. And I wonder about this luxury tax thing, too, because the Celtics are roughly $12 million over the luxury tax. If they get under, they can save almost $40 million. And the argument towards that would be, like, let's start trying to avoid the repeater penalties. The Celtics have been a repeater team for a while now. But in order to do that, you'd have to be under the luxury tax for multiple seasons. And the reality, like we talked about last segment, when Jason Tatum's back, like, you'd expect him to spend. So I don't think it makes a ton of sense to dodge the repeater line just because you know, maybe you don't see this team. I mean, I think the Anthony Simons aspect is interesting on an expiring deal, and he can get it done. And I think he's your most entertaining trade chip because I mean, everyone's always looking for a scorer like that, especially around the trade deadline. But I wouldn't dump him just for money. Like, I wouldn't do that. Especially,
you're trying to make yourself better. And is it as simple as you're trying to use Anthony Simons as your primary trade chip to try to improve your front court while also trying to sneak under that luxury tax number? That's a really tough needle to thread if that's what you're doing, but does that kind of seem like the most ideal outcome from this?
I think the conversations could be different. Like, I think you can separate the two where, yeah, if you want to get under the luxury tax, then yes, that would be a motive of doing it. But also, he's on an expiring deal. Like, you could look at it one of two ways. Do you want to try to flip that deal and try to net something in return that can possibly contribute a player that you believe in or maybe you can develop?
Right.
Or do you want to just let that money come off the books in the summer and then be able to do something with it that way? So there's two ways of thinking about it. I just think, like, if you don't view him as a long-term piece of this team, and I guess it depends on how you view this team and the expectations that you want for this team, but if you don't view him, I guess I kind of can get on board with moving him, but moving him just to, you know, get under the luxury tax just makes no sense to me. Like, when he's aggressive and he's getting more comfortable in his role, I think that's been abundantly obviously. It's not something he was used to, right? Like, he was a number one option in Portland, was the guy, and now his bench role is a rather small one.
Yeah, so, I mean, he started every game that he played in his career to that point,
He's third in Trailblazers history in three-pointers made behind Dame and C.J. McCollum. Like, that's good company.
Right, and he's also an interesting case study in what we just talked about with the young guys because, you know, Simons at 26 is still relatively young. He's had a lot of success, but, you know, you enter a guy into a Celtics system, and I think the biggest question, at least from what I can remember coming into the year, is, okay, can this kid defend? Are there other elements to his game other than just being a volume shooter? Because when you're in Portland and it doesn't really matter and you're the number one option, yeah, just chuck it up there all game and you'll be able to collect your
and
cookies.
Chauncey Billups loved the over. So that helped it too.
He did. He must have loved himself from Anthony Simons. But have you seen the development of his game into a more well-rounded player with the Celtics?
Yeah, and Brad Stevens gave him credit for that. Joe Mazzulla has as well. Like, I don't think they're just kind of fluffing him up here and saying that he's trying on defense. Like,
yeah,
he is. He's been a better defender than maybe you could have asked for. But the reality is he's always going to have his defensive limitations. Like, some players just aren't good defenders. Like, that's the reality of it. And I think he kind of falls in that boat a little bit, but he's trying. Like, he's trying to learn the system, trying to be picking up guys, you know, making it difficult. So, yeah, I give him a lot of credit for it, but it's just he always going to have that limitation, I think. And no matter what it is, like, no matter what team, and I think this offseason spoke a lot to just the interest in him around the NBA, whereas the Celtics, you know, were reportedly trying to trade him all throughout the summer, and there was no one really biting on it, and a guy on an expiring deal, you'd think they'd be more willing to do it. So no matter what, I don't think his next contract is going to be what he's making. Now he's on a $27.6 million this year. Like, he's going to be taking a pay cut wherever he is. And
right.
I mean, maybe you find something down the stretch here, and maybe, you know, he does want to return. But, like, I would imagine he wants to go out and try to be that guy somewhere else.
Yeah, I think there's you can take the same logic that you just said with some of the reclamation projects that the Celtics brought in, the Cade to Cornette kind of style, and apply that to Simons. Oh, okay, well, you brought me in, you developed my game, I can now go on the free agent market telling people that I was just developed by the Boston Celtics, for lack of a more nuanced term. That's something that you could sell in a potential free agency. So let's put a button on it this way. You mentioned that the NBA's trade window has opened. Why is that?
As of last week, the players, almost all of the players that signed over the summer are now eligible to be traded.
Okay, so you have the full pick of the litter if you're Brad Stevens and the Boston Celtics. So what do you do? How do you approach this thing? Or is your answer to that just stand pat, get Jason Tatum back, and run it with the group that you have?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you can get a big, you do it.
Okay.
I think, like, the small ball's been great. Don't get me wrong. Like, they've found something there. But in the playoffs, especially against a team like Detroit or New York, like, you're going to want the bigs. You're going to need help with that. You're going to need another playable big. And Luka Garza, maybe he is the answer. Like,
yeah.
His playing time's been pretty sparingly, so, like, you don't really know what to expect. So maybe it is him. But I think the number one wish on everyone's list would be to go out and get a big, like a serviceable big that they can do, and somebody that can contribute to next year. Like, you're not going to get anyone at the deadline that's on a one-year deal that's just going to, like, oh, this is a win-now move. Like, that's not how it is. Like,
right.
Brad Stevens, even the other day, kept talking about the North Star, and he keeps mentioning it, that is it. The championship is the North Star. That's where they're trying to get. And the reality is, like, this year, it wasn't the expectation. One of the most glaring comments was at the beginning of the year. Brad was asked about, well, how do you feel about this big man rotation? He said, we'll see. Does that sound like a team and a guy that knew they were going to be competing for a championship?
No, that's about as honest as you're going to hear Brad Stevens be about something without just outwardly coming out and saying, yeah, this group is not very good.
And if they make the Eastern Conference Finals or whatever, they win a playoff game, that's a wild overachievement.
Yeah.
And you take that. Like, the Celtics have had years like this before, like the Isaiah Thomas year. That's the one that comes to mind for a lot of people. Is that Isaiah Thomas year. Like, no one really had those expectations for them. They finished the one seed, and they go to the conference finals. And then Isaiah, obviously, they run into LeBron, Kyrie, Isaiah hurts his hip, and all that.
But right.
I thought it was very fitting, and it was a nice touch by them. At the beginning of the year when the Celtics released their, like, preseason hype video, Isaiah was the one that narrated it.
Yeah.
And I really thought that was nice because it was like, that's the ethos that this team kind of needs to embody. Like, they're scrappy underdogs, and they're doing that, and obviously – Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and Peyton Pritchard, those established guys are doing it, but it's those younger guys as well that are just embracing that underdog mentality. And I think that's something the city can really appreciate about this team. And, you know, Boston appreciates that. Like, guys, the teams that are going to be entertaining, they're going to be worth your time, they're going to show up, they're going to work, and they're going to fight every night. And that's what this team has done. So I just think it's kind of a little crazy to put, like, them in a championship contending status,
right,
even when you're looking at the Eastern Conference. Like, it's not great, yes, but we got to also remember what this year was. Like, all this is an add-on. Like, great. They're winning. This is great, and it makes for it more fun. But, like, the number one goal was the development, and they're seeing that.
Right. That has been the biggest win that you've seen so far this season. Luckily, the actual physical wins are coming as well, and you also compare the expectations for this year to last year in the result of last year, where you kind of flame out and you lose in the second round. So if we're talking about a team that's even playing in the second round this year after all of the roster turn that you went through year over year, absolutely, that's a huge win to me. And you're a likable and scrappy and fun to watch and fun to root for kind of team. Then that all comes together to a really fun product to talk about. The one headline that continues to pop up every now and again, the Boston Celtics number one star, Jaylen Brown. Terp, what was your favorite season covering the Celtics?
Oh, the championship season.
Oh, yeah?
Easily.
I guess that probably is a pretty easy question with an easy answer. Well, what was Jaylen Brown's favorite season, and what does that mean about how he's feeling about his role with the Celtics? We got to get to that. We'll do it now.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a paper listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Next. Merry Christmas and happy holidays from Jackson's Spotify Wrapped. Welcome back here at Jones and Keefe, WEEI, Dan Ball, Justin Turpin, in the midst of a pure hoops hour here on Christmas Eve. Some commentary from the Twitch chat saying that it's nice to hear some basketball analysis because what's normally heard on the afternoon show is that Jaylen Brown sucks. And I figured, yeah, let's give a little more nuanced take than just us pushing back against Andy Hart's unbridled passion and love for Jaylen Brown.
You have to hit on these younger guys.
Absolutely. It's, you know, we've been saying, we always say, who doesn't say that? Anyways, Jaylen Brown. So that comment came, post game, and he ended up answering a question saying that the 2025-26 season has been his favorite so far, a near now decade long career. Of all the things that Jaylen Brown and the Celtics have accomplished during his career, this year is the favorite. Your reaction to hearing him say that?
I don't have a problem with that answer at all.
Okay.
I really don't. I mean, he's a very prideful guy, and that's very well known about Jaylen Brown, and he doesn't forget about the boos on draft nights, all the question marks about his ability to lead a team, the left-handed stuff. He doesn't forget about any of that. And from an individual standpoint this year, he's proved a lot of people wrong.
It's true.
Like, he's averaging this season 29-6-4. The only other player in the NBA averaging those numbers is Luka Doncic. That's pretty good company.
That's pretty good.
He scored 30-plus points in every game in December. He's pretty close to averaging 30. I think it's like 28 or 29.5 or whatever. Like, what he's doing from an individual level is exactly what a lot of people said he couldn't do. So I don't have a problem with that answer whatsoever. From just an individual standpoint, what he's been able to prove is he was right for all these things that he said. Like, he wanted the chance to be the number one. He wanted a chance to prove that he can do it, and he's done it. So I don't have an issue with that answer at all.
This is an exploratory question that I have. Where is all of this going with Jaylen Brown? You talked about it and kind of alluded to it in earlier on in the hour, talking about how you want to invest while the window is open. You want to invest while you have both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on your roster. You want to try to essentially, for lack of a better term, squeeze as many championships out of this window as you can. Is Jaylen Brown a career member of the Boston Celtics when we look back at this thing in 10 years' time?
You hope so. I think that's the that's an interesting question because he seems like a player.
Thank you, Rafi.
He seems like a player that wants to push himself and wants to maximize the most of his individual brand. But also, when he was talking about, I thought this was a candid and revealing moment from him on his Twitch stream a couple weeks ago. He was talking about when times got tough and he was constantly in those trade rumors that he talked to Vince Carter. And Vince Carter told him, like, hey, like, you don't leave.
Right.
Like, take the chance to win, like prioritize that. And Jaylen Brown said that that really resonated with him and he wants the chance to win championships. And as long as him and Jason Tatum are together, the Celtics have a chance to win a championship.
Oh, no doubt.
No matter who's surrounded by them, as long as those two are on the floor, they have a chance.
Didn't he also go on a podcast and say that he would like to play in Atlanta at some point?
Well, that's his hometown. So
yeah, I know, but he did say that.
I didn't catch that. It would make sense that he said that with it being his hometown. But
Right.
I don't know.
They're also nowhere close to competing for a championship right now.
Yeah,
so
that's not the place I'd want to go.
Not quite yet. Maybe that's where he ends it, like far, far, far down the line. But yeah,
I think as long as winning remains his number one goal.
Yeah.
Then yeah, he's a Boston Celtic. But again, like, and it's not a bad thing per se that he wants to maximize his personal brand and what he can accomplish as an individual. Like, I don't think there's a problem in that. But if that eventually does mean leaving Boston, maybe because they aren't contending, and I don't see how that would happen as long as those two are here again. But I don't know. I mean, I'd feel pretty good about it, him staying here. But I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if he was to kind of test his limits and, you know, want to test himself somewhere else.
Yeah, I just happen to wonder, watching in my question with that is also partially a testament to how good he has been this year. Not only are you showing that you can be a number one in this league, but you can be an elite level number one in this league with a supporting cast that has taken a significant hit year over year. And, you know, I mean, that's the funny thing about Jason Tatum being the quote-unquote number one for the Celtics is that he has a Jaylen Brown next to him. Like, JB has nothing anywhere close to that. So I am curious to see that if he walks away from this season, seeing how well he's been able to perform, does he get that itch? Do I want to spend the next 10 years of my career being the 1B to Jason Tatum's 1A, or do I now have a taste of being the guy who has the ball in his hands at the end of a game when it matters most for another franchise? There's no set answer, but the reason that quote just it kind of caught me off guard for the timing when it came from. That's the kind of thing that I feel like you normally hear from an athlete at the end of their career. You know, when you're talking on a podcast, when you're on KG's podcast, when you're on the big podcast with Shaq or whatever, when you're looking back at this thing from a full view, it just kind of caught me off guard that, first of all, we're 30-something games into the season and you're saying it. And B, like, you're very much acknowledging, hey, this year without Jason Tatum, this year without any other things keeping me from being at my best, it is my favorite. And it makes me wonder what the relationship between Brown, Tatum, and the Celtics looks like when all of these pieces then are meshed back together when he's healthy.
I mean, we've been having this conversation for a decade now, you know, just the relationship between those two, and it goes nowhere. Like, the conversation never actually matures to anything. Like, it's always just kind of running circles, like, oh, do they like each other? Do they not? And, like, people need to just understand, like, you have generational Boston Celtics playing together on the same team right now. And just appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I think the comments might be kind of misconstrued a little bit, because I really think this is more, he's talking from a personal side, like a personal bias. This year is his favorite. Why wouldn't it be? You're averaging almost 30. You're putting up career highs. Like, you're proving everybody wrong. So, like, I don't have a problem at all with that comment.
Okay, well, you are in line with Eric and Chicopee. Hi, Eric.
How's it going, guys?
Good
conversation. So I also don't have a problem with what he said. And I also don't, not that you guys said this, I don't think it's a shot at the championship season, because you can make the argument he's the reason they won the championship. He was the MVP in the final, conference finals. He saved them from being eliminated. So I do think if he had his druthers, he wants more respect. There's no doubt about that. I don't know if he'll ever get it in Boston, because the NBA is like, once it's solidified that one player is great, it's very hard to usurp that opinion. But if he doesn't get it, yeah, he's going to position himself to be the leader of a franchise, whether it's here or somewhere else.
Eric, thank you for the call, and I completely understand where he's coming from on that.
I'm with him. I haven't been able to put my finger on this for years. I've just never understood the notion. It's always been just so confusing to me. Why has Jaylen Brown been so scrutinized? Like, I really don't get it. I think the 2024 NBA championship run should have ended all those conversations. I get it. He didn't show up in Game 7 when they needed him most, when Jason Tatum goes down. I totally get it. They were also down three games in that series. They were down with their backs against the wall. They fought all the way back. The likelihood of them winning that anyway was very low. Like, no one really expected when they went down 0-3 to win that. So I get it. He didn't show up then. But, like, it just feels like since day one he's been so scrutinized. And I don't understand it.
Unfortunately, I think it has very little to do with what happens on the court. I know the draft night stuff proved that, all right, he's probably starting off on the wrong foot, and I'm not sure he's truly recovered from that. But every now and again, there's just something that either happens in an interview, on a podcast, on a stream, where he's not even wrong, but because it's it's kind of one thing that compiles on top of another thing on top of another thing. It seems like people have kind of started to struggle with the commentary around him and the commentary that he provides. I'm not saying it's fair. I just think it's kind of the accumulation of a couple different things that make you go, does he love Boston? Does he love playing?
And I think
playing
that's
for
a
these
dangerous
fans?
Game. Like when you're reading into different things.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's what happens a lot with Jalen, is you're reading into what he says and you're trying to just get to the bottom of it, and no one's really sure. It's like everyone has an opinion on what he said, but it's not really it might not actually be what he said. So
right.
I mean, I get it. I get why he said that. I get why this is his favorite year. It makes total to be able to accomplish what he has in this year with all the scrutiny he's gotten. I totally am with him. Like, that's a totally fair comment.
Yeah, no, I understand where you're coming from. And the last thing that I'll say to try to summarize how I think I perceive this, it just seems like both Jaylen Brown and Boston Celtics fans are still just a little uneasy about each other. I think there's a fear on both sides that the other hasn't completely embraced the other side, and that just kind of is the underlying level of tension between the two sides.
I know we got to take a break, so I'll be quick with this. But yeah. I also think part of it is there's tendency to pit Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown against each other.
It's right.
Like they're always looked at one or the other, and it should never be that way. It should be these two guys have had this ridiculous success. They've been to more conference finals than some NBA teams.
Right.
Like the success right. that these two as a tandem yeah. have had should be the talking point. But that's not how sports work. And
right.
that's not how sports talk works. So it's always one or the other. And that's kind of what leads to this conversation.
You're right about that. It really should be, oh my God, we have these two generational talents under contract at the exact same time. Let's go win some titles. And luckily they were able to do that. Okay, we'll put a pin in that. But again, if you have any extra leftover thoughts, we're getting texts. We'll read those. We'll get to your calls as well on the Boston Celtics, on Jaylen Brown, on what the future looks like for him. We do have to take a break here on Jones and Keefe. We get into hour number three next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.